Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
I wanted to make sure they knew who I was and talk to them about that. And, I mean, you know, I didn't say anything earth-shattering or mind-blowing. It's baseball. And just wanted to let them know what I believe in and what I'm about and who I am. Some guys know me. Some guys don't. And I want to make sure everybody, we just get a fresh start and lay in who David Ross is and the manager of the Cubs and what I believe in and what I'm passionate about. And I got to say my piece. I don't know if it went over well or not. I just, you know, I was out there being me. And I think I'll be best if I can continue to do that.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That's David Ross talking about his welcome speech. Now, he's been there a few days. Most of the guys have been there a few days, Dan McNeil, but still.
Yeah, just wanted them to know who David Ross is, Matt.
Big, fun-loving Grandpa Rossi.
That is not who the man is.
He said before the convention he didn't like David, and there he is referring to himself as David Ross.
Well, there's going to be a lot of bumps in the in the public presentation.
Okay. That's not even on the egregious meter for things heard over the weekend out of Cubs camp.
But Ross had his welcome, and Bryant, among those who said it was awesome, said he felt like he wanted to run through a wall.
Well, there's a first.
After that. And look, Ross is a grumpy guy, is a grumpy, feisty jackass of a guy in terms of being around a team every day. I know that a lot of people think of him as cuddly, whatever that cut was.
Big, fun-loving Grandpa Rossi.
Yes. That is exactly how he's perceived.
It's not. It's
you
not
call
true.
Him grumpy.
Ross will get in your face.
He doesn't have grump face.
Now,
maybe, I can see that he would get.
Maybe grumpy is wrong. But
yeah, I think that's a little bit excessive.
He likes to agitate. He likes to get in your face and make sure that you're showing up and doing the right thing. He gets personally pissed off if you're not.
Too bad he wasn't here last year.
I agree.
Or the year before.
Well, maybe. I mean, they've been wanting that. They've been wanting his energy since he left, and now they've got it back in the manager's spot. I know that a lot of people are exhausted by things that did not happen in the offseason. I totally get it. But I think he's a really good choice as manager for this bunch. I think he's going to get in their faces and demand that they be better and they pay attention. And they're slowly trickling out with admissions of how they weren't at their best last year.
They're doing it again, just like the catcher did a year ago when Wilson Contreras admitted to stopping with his weight training routine in the middle of a season. Everything that got him to all-star level in 2017, he abandoned in 18, and now Javi Baez saying it over the weekend that he didn't work as hard as he needed to. And the Cubs management team has been very upfront since the change was made about how there needed to be more team activities, more discussion around the batting cages, more guys working together and stretching together and participating, because apparently nobody took that responsibility on themselves and made that happen. And now Baez with his confession over the weekend, it's stunning.
I got to the field, and instead of going outside and hit BP, I would do everything inside, which is not the same. You know, when once I go out to the field for the game, I feel like I wasn't ready. You know, I feel like I was getting loose during the first four innings, and it should be, you know, I should be ready and excited to get out before the first pitch. And I promise you guys that this year is going to be like that.
Wow.
Not good vibes last year, babe.
Wow.
Not good vibes. Negative vibes.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's not on, I get part of it's on Madden and having a laid-back approach.
Oh, no, it's on him.
That's on Javier Baez.
Absolutely.
And I know he can't do anything wrong. Oh, he's so fun to watch. He's majestic. Oh, he's magic to watch and everything.
I would
get your ass ready to play.
Mm-hmm. I would get loose during the first four or five
Might
innings
do
of
that
the game.
Before the game. Might want to go out and, you know, get yourself ready so by the time the first inning comes around,
well,
you know, was allowed.
I would love to know
play.
How habitual this was.
I think it was habitual for a lot of them. And I think that they were allowed to be adults and they were expected. Well, these guys know what they're doing. They're all veterans now. But
right,
they
look
did
what
not,
they did in 16.
Right. And they got close in 17 and at 18 and then 19 they didn't. But they faded in 18. They faded in 19. And now they're all realizing and saying it out loud. They're allowed to say it, and they feel like some of them feel like they have to because things have changed. The rug has been pulled from under them. There weren't. Remember the talk that like, oh, Rizzo's rising to a leader, and no, Rizzo's not. Wasn't the kind of leader to get in people's face and say, hey, come out here and join us doing this. And they tried to make Joe do that. Tried to tell Joe to change and do it. Theo and Jed tried to get in there and
Jason
do it themselves.
Jason Hayward regards himself as a badass.
He is, but
I
not
don't know, but that apparently not comfortable enough to do it, but verbally,
not vocally, really by example. And he'll talk to you if you want to talk to him. But clearly, some of these guys need fire lit under them. They need somebody to be on their case.
Were there occasions last year where you felt Baez was not giving 100% during? I can't think to many Baez moments last year where I thought, okay, he's not hustling. That's not the same Baez we've seen in recent years. I'm not talking about production. I'm talking about what you can see is with the eye test with effort.
Yeah, there were a couple times where he didn't run as hard out of the box and trusted that he was going to be fast enough to make third and had to settle for a double. I remember one of those times. But most of the time, I remember mistakes of aggression for Javi. And you had like threw your hands up right. And said, well, that's just Javi being Javi. That's what he does. And you got to live with that stuff. No, but this is kind of the subtle behind-the-scenes stuff that he's talking about and admitting to that. But they were allowed to be this way. They were allowed to be responsible for themselves, and they've proven that they don't deserve it.
Well, I don't know. Did Madden know already that regardless of what shook out, he was gone? Is that why he didn't address it last year? Did he know he was history with the lame duck deal?
It's just not his style. Remember he talked about eventually he infiltrated the group?
Yeah, but if you see that every day, you've got to address it. Yes. Mm. If you see it every day and it's your most important pieces and they're getting loose during the first four innings of a ball game, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
No, Joe's
what are you talking about?
Joe's in the dugout.
The more we get to know the 2016 Cubs, the more they really are the 85 Bears. One championship and very dislikable.
Oh boy. Well, 85 in 2016 Cubs were not dislikable.
Not for me when in it retrospect, comes to the 85 Bears, but a lot of people have that feeling about them and did because of their conflicts with each other.
By 89, did you feel the way about this Bears bunch that you're feeling about this Cubs
yes,
bunch?
Yes, 89 was one of the most disastrous years in Bears history. They went 6-10 and people were fighting with each other and people were sick of Ditka. He was sick of them. They were sick of management for Wilbur Marshall defecting to the Redskins and Plan B free agency.
Well, that would be this coming year. That would be the 2020 comp. Madden's already gone. So in that sense, they're a year ahead of the game. They got Ditka out of town a year early enough. Now, I understand. And if people want to hammer the players for these admissions, you can. I think the whole mix was clearly toxic by the end. Complacent, if not toxic, by the end. And remember the conversation, people saying, Joe can't go. I mean, this is wrong. You shouldn't be blaming Joe. Sometimes it's just time. And I think it was time before last season began, as a matter of fact. If you're getting in there and mandating all the changes on a day-to-day basis that they were mandating from Joe and trying to change all the habits of everybody, then, I mean, that was evidence that it was time, but Ross wasn't ready to take the gig. So maybe it would have been somebody else for a year.
Yeah.
They were waiting for Ross to be able to take the gig.
Yeah. I just, I was stunned when I heard those comments from Baez. And I go, you got to be kidding me. We're going to hear this again. We're hearing it again. The second straight spring training where you have an all-star player saying he took time off, basically. I was stretching during games. I wasn't a part of it. I wasn't out there. Really? Mm-hmm. Really. And the manager let it go and let it go and let it go and let it go. And then he got let go.
God, some great managers have gone that direction, though. You know, sometimes it's unfortunate, but it happens. Tito Francona, legendarily at the end in Boston, retreated into his office and just didn't really even go out and talk with the players. And that wasn't his style. Right. He's a much more hands-on, active guy. But he retreated, and chicken and beer and some of that stuff happened, you know, while Tito was just like watching it and not really even being involved. Joe was not a guy who infiltrates the group until he told you slyly. Wasn't that the first week of September last year when he talked about infiltrating the group, trying to stop the collapse that some sensed was coming and it didn't work? That was September of year 5. It's just not Joe's style.
No, it sure wasn't. Man, it's going to be – I can't wait for this thing to start and see it all unfold. Hey, who knows how this thing is going to – shake out with the Cubs. I feel so much better about the White Sox than I do the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, I think Ross is going to get more out of them.
They got stuff to prove, man.
They do have stuff to prove. If I were them, I'd be pissed off in any number of ways. And I bet that Ross, in his talk to them, used everything to get a us against the world thing, and here's what I want you to do. Like, you can use anything and everything, including the inactivity of the front office. Do we have that moment from Chris Bryant over the weekend? Chris Bryant spoke for 36 minutes on Saturday morning. I was here inside the clubhouse. Bryant did a very nice thing. He waited till the beginning of Inside the Clubhouse to address the media. I thought it was very kind of him. So we carried it live right there at 9 o'clock. And among things within that 36 minutes, this caught my ears. The question that you'll hear is a little garbled, but it's basically, do you think Theo did enough to get you guys ready to win the World Series, okay? I want you to listen to Bryant's response. You got it, Tanny? This is the Q&A. This is Chris Bryant on Saturday morning in the midst of his 36 minutes.
Chris, do you feel like the new reps were trying to win this
offseason? Well, we didn't do much. But I guess I saw some quotes the other day about what Theo had said about this year and how where we're at in the tax, and you know, he saw this coming and stuff like that. And I don't know. I like the group we definitely have. I think we have a ton of talent, a lot of really good players that I guess underperformed last year as a team. And looking forward to this year, I think. Of course, it would have been nice to add people, but I don't know who we would have added to make it better. But I believe in this team that we have, and I think we really need to show what we have.
He kept his spikes really quiet during that tap dance, the final 20 seconds of the answer, when he realized he stepped in it.
How about that?
Chris, do you feel like the new refs were trying to win this offseason?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We didn't do much.
He didn't do much. He didn't do much.
This is how your star players feel about the offseason.
Yeah.
Later on, he referenced the Dodgers going for it. Like, hey, at least the Dodgers went for it.
But Bryant wants to be a Cub forever, right? Wasn't that expressed in Saturday morning's big show?
That was absolutely expressed.
Saturday or Sunday? Right?
Yeah, he was remarkable. That whole thing was so mature and so calm.
He talked last year, too. Remember how he was so much more communicative last year in Mesa? Oh, boy, Chris Bryant's opening up. It's a new era for Chris Bryant.
Well, but he handles a lot of stuff with maturity and aplomb and all of that. But I thought that was very, very revealing. So if I'm David Ross and I'm those players, I'm using that, right? Aren't you using that? They didn't do anything for you. They think you're not worthy of adding, or they hung you out to dry. It's time for you to show up and win it in spite of them.
How about they believe in your asses and you haven't given them reason the last few years to believe the way, you know, we would have expected a couple of years ago,
sure,
looking back at it.
Yeah, pick an option. Whatever
the cable
you got.
Companies don't even want to carry your games.
Comcast is not bending over to make a deal with you.
You know,
how does that feel?
In some ways, that it depends on your interpretation of it. And I it's money more than anything, but you could sell them on the idea that they still believe in you if you wanted to. If you wanted to lead cheers, if you're David Ross, you could say
too much of that, though. sunshine up their behinds for a couple of years now. Just like
they've been given
falling out the last two Septembers, yep. August into September.
Yeah. Because you guys, but here's what I'm saying:
play into the back of the baseball card, and everything's going to come together.
You've underachieved. What you tell them. You've underachieved, and management is putting it on your shoulders to turn this thing around.
Mm-hmm.
I almost look at it the other way.
It's up to you. We're all we got.
You know what? From what you've shown, you overachieved in 2016. Anthony Rizzo, you ain't bleep. Chris Bryant, why don't you stay healthy and get something done with your post All-Star game? Second half of a season for some time.
Look at the options.
Call people out because this team has been trash the last two Augusts and Septembers.
Remember that this is what Ross aced as part of his interview process, we were told, was the mock spring training speech. And here was his moment yesterday. And you know he likes to get in people's faces and tell them. So if he didn't say that directly, Shep, he for sure said, this is what they're saying about you, that you can't do this, that you suck, that you're not as good. Remember Jed said last year, I thought we'd be better by now. They thought they were going to be better as an offense by now, and they're not. So, no, those guys have not gotten the most out of their skill set, and everybody's saying it. And hopefully Ross said it right directly to them because there better be more. They have to be coached up now. They didn't go out and get them a whole lot of help. You better show up and be better. And Ross had options, and I think he is going to get more out of those guys. I think this has a chance to be a better team simply by the individuals being better than they were last year because their asses got complacent, and they're all admitting it now.
Speaks Baseball is bursting with content. The seams cannot contain all of the fodder that's out there for us to sink our teeth into before the ball gets pitched in anger.
This hour is brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And Upwork has the world's largest network of independent professionals, devs, UI designers, writers, strategists, you name it. Whatever skills your scope demands, Upwork is how. Pros available short or long term. One time or as often as you need them. And they're proven, rated, and reviewed. Need a front-end developer for a few months, an SEO specialist for 6 weeks, or a team of designers and devs all in one place? Upwork is how. When you need an in-demand talent on demand, Upwork is how. Spin the wheel, another spring training site, another star player going after the Houston Astros.
Yeah, the Houston Astros are America's most hated sports franchise, certainly this year, and I don't know how many years you'd have to go back, and it's much more than just what they did several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's how they're comporting themselves along the way as this season gets ready to start.
Hear who hated them the most today and the way they expressed it next on 670 The Score.
Yeah, you know, I think I haven't looked into it too much, but I even think that there's players that don't want it. I still think they were going through with the banging and stuff because I think it really turned into a routine there. You know, a lot of the apology yesterday was a lot about 2017. It's like, I'm pretty sure it was going on in 2018 and 2019 too. Like, and that's just so sad because it's like, just because if they didn't get caught, they'd still be doing it. And, you know, they're only doing this apology because they got caught. And there's a lot of feelings on it. And I know everybody around the league is really upset, and rightfully so, because it's really a disgrace to the game.
It's Chris Bryant from Saturday Morning. On the Astros cheating scandal, there was this whole thing, Dan McNeil, and it's Matt Spiegel in for Parkins this week because he's on paternity leave. This whole thing where everybody's like, you know, everybody's cheating. How mad are the players going to be at each other? Well, the answer, pretty damn mad.
I was heartened by some of the things I heard over the weekend coming out of spring training camps because I thought there was an absence of outrage when the story broke several months ago. I was wondering, where are the rank and file? Where are players at who are saying, hey, baseball, you got to do something, and more serious than what was done? And the more I thought about how baseball punished the Astros, the more impotent I think their punishment was for them.
Yeah, me too. And I admit that at the time I thought, boy, yeah, they did hammer him. All right, two draft picks for the next couple years.
Ineligible for the postseason. That'll communicate a message.
Oh, that's steep. That is very, very steep.
Because don't you think a lot of clubs would trade a general manager and a manager for a World Series championship? If that's all the ramifications were, and a few draft picks along the way?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Even though
tell them you got no postseason for 2 years and see if they steal signs again.
Did you see Joel Sherman's thing in the New York Post? He outlined a 7-point plan for how to redo the punishment.
Do you have the folder?
I do. I do indeed. Awesome. I have a 7-point plan, but I liked his first one because it goes after the players. A 3-year ban on any player from that team on the All-Star game. None of you. And a lot of them get bonuses for making the All-Star team. No All-Star appearance for any player or pitcher from that 2017 bunch for 3 years.
It's something.
Well, it's something to go after the players.
It's something.
Something to go after the players because they were given absolution.
Half a dozen guys for a few years.
How about no member of the 2017 Astros should ever receive a postseason share again? You never get the money from a playoff share ever again. The shares don't go down. You don't get a piece of it when they break it down for whatever team you happen to be on. Those are some creative ways to go after the players themselves as they might jump from team to team to team over the next decade or so. I like those. No postseason at all for the entire franchise?
2 years. 2-year postseason ban. Because, you know, and some others still want to continue to request that the championship be vacated. That does nothing. That doesn't change the experience for players, for the city, fans of that team around the country when they watched them win a championship 2.5 years ago. It takes away nothing from that.
I agree that it takes away nothing from the experience. And yet I think Manfred was way too cavalier about it when he referred to it as just a piece of metal. Or like just a name on a trophy, that kind of thing.
Yeah. He asking for a piece of metal back.
Yeah, I mean, just referring to it like that really pissed people off.
Piece of metal.
Yeah, John Lester went after him today. A lot of people have gone
Justin
after Rob
Turner
Manfred.
Overdrive, the Dodgers big slugger, had some thoughts on the commissioner yesterday and his name being on the trophy, and that's what demeans
the trophy. Yeah, let's hear Justin Turner talking about Manfred and that stuff.
That trophy, which, by the way, is called the commissioner's trophy. So for him to devalue it the way he did yesterday is just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
Do you think that there's more pressure, and you guys talk about it more, people talk about it more, and he can finally wake up and, like, okay, do something about this?
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what everyone thinks should happen. Right. I mean, no one in this clubhouse or in this room is asking for a trophy to be handed us by any means. We want to earn it. We want to earn it the right way. We want to, you know, like I said at FanFest, we want to be the last team standing. We want to catch the last out. We want to pop champagne and dogpile on the field, and we want to have the parade in L.A. But at the same time, you know, we understand how difficult it is, you know, to win a World Series. It's hard. It's really hard. It's something that you have to earn. And obviously, you know, as the report showed, as all these guys from their club over there are coming back and apologizing and, you know, trying to make amends for it, it's pretty evident to me that it wasn't earned. And it's not something that, you know, a banner should be hung in their stadium. A trophy should be put up wherever their trophies go, you know. They shouldn't have, a World Series championship is earned, and it defines careers. It defines people's careers.
Wow. Good stuff.
It's Turner.
From the bearded slugger.
Uh-huh. Says no banners, no trophies up. Join Northwestern basketball, the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Penn State, and Minnesota. Single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. In a minute, we're going to give away some tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band. So,
all right. Jay Zawoski out there. Listen up. Your chance.
Yeah, you could call right now, I suppose. I mean, if Jay happens to be. Caller number 9. To the Scores contest line at 312-591-6700.
Number 9.
We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Huntington Pavilion on June 26th. Number 9 of the contest line right now. So does hearing that change your opinion at all on taking away the title, taking away the trophy?
No, not really. No, it doesn't. I don't think it's enough. I don't think the message is communicated. I don't think the penalty is stiff enough. I think a postseason ban would have accomplished that. And this commissioner is falling more and more out of favor with baseball players and baseball fans as his tenure rolls on every day.
Yes, he is. A lot of stuff that's gone on. And then the 14 teams make the playoffs. Look at this shiny, weird story that I released to try and distract you. Oh, it failed? Damn it! I'm so upset! Meanwhile, the biggest names in the sport, the players, are coming out and talking. When's the last time Mike Trout said anything
interesting?
Yeah. Here's Mike Trout on the Astros scandal.
You know, just I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not getting anything. You know, it was a player-driven sucks because, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. It would be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It would be pretty fun up there.
Mike Trout saying it be pretty fun to know what's coming up there. But going after the commissioner, going after the Astros.
Yeah.
My sport's in this weird-ass chaos
right now. You know, it is. And, you know, maybe curiosity will be piqued, even though it's not how you would prefer your sport to get a little bit of a spike in terms of interest. But maybe it will be. Yeah. I have to think there will be Houston Astros players who wind up eating dirt the first weekend of the season.
Yeah, no matter what Dusty Baker says.
Yeah, they're gonna get knocked down.
And
no
Rob
question.
Manfred too, trying to protect players of that. Oh, he's got an opinion on that, and he wants to stand up and protect the Astros there.
Yeah, but
don't say anything.
Most of us agree that that's a bad part of baseball, though. The beaning, the using, the use of
exceptions.
I don't like it.
The hip is okay.
I never have liked it. And, you know, the teams that have been noted for that seem to have had less disdain shoved in their direction than this Astros team has over the years.
Remember the idea that Ryan Braun stole an MVP from Matt Kemp, right? Frank Thomas had a Royds MVP or two stolen from certain guys. Aaron Judge.
Mike Greenwell, right? Wasn't he the one that had it stolen from Jose Canseco?
I think so, yeah. Mike Greenwell. Aaron Judge believes that Jose Altuve now perhaps stole his. Here's Aaron Judge today.
I just don't think it holds any value. You cheated and you didn't earn it. You know, that's how I feel, is it wasn't earned. You know, it wasn't earned the way of, you know, playing the game right and fighting till the end and knowing that, you know, we're competing. We're competitors. And the biggest thing about competition is laying it all out in the line, and, you know, whoever's the better player, better person, you know, comes out on top, you know, and, you know, you just lay it out there. And, you know, to know that another team had an advantage that, you know, nothing you can really guard against, that I just don't feel like that's earned or, you know, yeah, that's.
You deleted a tweet that congratulating Altuve back in 17. Is that accurate? Did you delete that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for the obvious reasons that we're talking about here?
Yeah, I think I took it down like right when I think the story broke out, right when I think Mike Fiers came out and talked with Athletic and stated that, you know, this is what was going on in 17, you know, and once I heard that, you know, it's just sick to my stomach, you know, just to find out, you know, I had a lot of respect, you know, for those guys and, you know, what they did and, you know, especially, you know, what they did for the city of Houston and that whole organization, man, a team that was in last place and drafted right, got the right players in there, and, you know, eventually, you know, got to the World Series. You know, I had a lot of respect for them, you know, the way they played, what they did, and then to find out that, you know, it wasn't earned, they cheated. You know, that didn't sit well with me, and I just didn't feel like the post that I did really, you know, meant the same anymore.
You got players going back to tweets from three years ago.
I love it.
It's outstanding. All right,
good for Aaron Judge.
You got to hear this last one, people, if you haven't. This is Nick Markakis, former Oriole, current Atlanta Brave, going off on the Astros and threatening physical harm, among other
things. It angers you, especially from a guy who has played the game the right way his whole career. No shortcuts. I know how hard this game is. I know how hard preparing for this game is, and to see something like that, it's damaging to baseball. You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
Everybody takes a beating once in a while.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
Save that for Scorehouse.
I like that.
How does it feel?
Good for Nick Markakis.
How does it feel to do radio in a town with the most loathed team in current memory? Let's find out, shall we?
Yeah, we're going to do that in just a couple of minutes. Sean Pendergast will check in. He's the morning yakker at the Sports Talker in Houston. Spiegs is in for Parkins. I'm Mac, and you're listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
2019, nobody wore buzzers. Nobody wore buzzers. That's a lie. The reason Jose Altuve didn't want to get his shirt ripped off, I'm going to tell you. Earlier in the year, he hit a walk-off at Minute Maid Park. I ripped off his shirt with Tony Kemp. There is pictures of that. There is videos of that. You can go look at it. I ripped off his shirt. His wife told my wife, why is Carlos ripping out to his shirt? Like, I don't like that. I don't like that. So when he's walking, so he's running from third base to home plate, he said, I'm the guy up front. I'm the guy up front. The first one waiting for him. He's like, don't take my shirt off. The second reason that he don't want me to talk about this, but I'm going to say it, is because he got an unfinished tattoo on his collarbone right here. That honestly looked terrible. It was a bad tattoo.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
Nick Markakis with thoughts on the Astros. And before that, that was Carlos Correa.
Yes.
Telling you something that Jose Altuve doesn't want me to tell you. He's got an unfinished tattoo.
I've known guys with unfinished tattoos. They are very, very protective. Yes, until that bad dog gets finished, leave it alone. It's not for looking.
This is the state of the baseball world, is that yesterday in Astros camp, Jose Altuve very self-consciously took off his shirt to show the media his tattoo on the collarbone. Just like, hey, everybody, here's my tattoo. And the media was like, yep, it sure is a tattoo. Excellent call. And people had to make sure that he didn't run out and get a tattoo just to cover Carlos Correa's ass on that story. What a crazy-ass, weird world we live in, and everybody hates the Astros. Let's go to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. The man does mornings in Houston on 6:10 a.m. What's it like down there these days, Sean Pendergast? Thanks for coming on The Score.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to come on. I appreciate the invite, guys. You guys can appreciate this. From a standpoint of being a radio host, it's freaking incredible. I mean, it's the story of... You know, like team content loves this story. You know what I mean? We were talking yesterday, my co-host and I do a show with Seth Payne, who's a 10-year NFL guy, played nose tackle for the Texans. And we did a segment yesterday where we go, man, if the Astros hadn't cheated in 2017, what the hell would we be talking about today? And it was really like a lot of semi-boring draft stuff and the Rockets playing small ball. So from a standpoint of a radio host, it's great. From a standpoint of somebody who's trying to defend their team from 29 other MLB franchises, it's like playing goalie against 11 different hockey players at the same time. So it's been fun. I'm sure it's not fun for the Astros, but it's given us a lot to talk about. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it sure has. Any city that has a baseball team in it is riveted by this story. I think baseball season is jumping to start 2020. Among Astros fans, Sean, and you see their text, you talk to them every day, follow social media. What would you say the franchise's fan base is in terms of percentage okay with what happened or really disappointed in their favorite ball club?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dan. You know, like it's evolved. You know what I mean? It's almost like going through the Kubler-Ross five stages of grief, where if you had asked this question back in November when Mike Fiers ratted everybody out, the answer might be a little different than it is right now, because it's there's been different stages to this thing. I don't think anybody thought that when this thing started that AJ Hinch and Jeff Luno would wind up getting fired for this whole thing. And I don't know that people anticipated just how angry everybody else would be. We knew there'd be anger. There's anger about everything these days. But I think at this point, I would say in terms of the disappointment in the Astros, and certainly disappointment in the way they've handled it as a team, that apology last Thursday was a complete joke. Jim Crane was awful. They put Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman in really bad positions. So I would say in terms of disappointment and how the teams handled it, I think it's nearly a consensus in Houston. And I think a lot of people are disappointed that they did it. Like, there's nobody here that's denying that it happened, obviously, and running away from that. I would say the mood of the fan base, just in terms of the support of the team, has probably evolved to where I think this city's about as jacked for an MLB regular season as they've been since maybe heading into that 2017 season, just because of how much deserved vitriol the Astros have gotten, but mixed in with a lot of, I think, conjecture and rumor, innuendo, falsehoods, whatever it is. Look, the Astros brought it all on themselves, but there's a lot of squawking going on around Major League Baseball that I think is going to add a lot of juice to this regular season.
Interesting. See, my least favorite trolls on the internet now are the people getting in bed with the Astros morally and saying, see, you are holier than thou. Go Astros! Go Astros! Those are my new least favorite people on the internet. But maybe Houston fans are going to rally around. You can't say that about our pledges. Only we can say that about our pledges.
Right, Animal House, baby.
Yeah,
you know, Matt, it's funny. I think that, to me, the biggest thing that Astro fans are rallying around with all this is Jose Altuve. Because Jose Altuve might be still, certainly was before all this, and may still be the most beloved athlete in the city currently. And I said the night he hit that home run against the Yankees, that the Mount Rushmore in this city has always been Nolan Ryan, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Earl Campbell, the three number 34s. I said that night, just put a 34 on Jose Altuve, just sent the Astros to the World Series. He's that popular, and I think a lot of it has to do with his story, underdog kind of story, great guy, great player. That's the guy I really feel for, because I believe Carlos Correa when he says that Altuve didn't want in on this type of thing. And to watch Jose Altuve kind of get raked through the mud with the buzzer thing, which I think is ridiculous. That's been the hard, I think of all the things, most of it's just baseball fun kind of stuff. That to me, and I think to fans, has been the hardest part to watch, because Jose Altuve is an institution here in Houston.
Sean, it's not why we had John, but I have to ask for a follow-up. I kind of surprised you don't have a guy named J.J. Watt on your Mount Rushmore of Houston athletes. The freshly married J.J. Watt is,
it looked like a hell of a wedding too, Dan. I wish I'd gotten invited if you want to know the truth. But, no, JJ is up. Look, if you get a Mount Rushmore of current Houston athletes, it's JJ and Altuve and then everybody else. Maybe Deshaun Watson is duking it out, you know, for the other spot. So currently, but Jose Altuve is a guy who, unlike JJ, has experienced success in the postseason. He's won an MVP award. So if you were debating who to put up next to the retired legends, to me it would be Altuve. But, obviously JJ is an institution here for a variety of reasons as well.
All right, so you said you believe Carlos Correa about Altuve. It's a really weird moment here, because all those guys apparently lied and cheated for a couple of years. And now suddenly I'm trying to figure out, who do I believe now? So I thought I believed Correa that day when he was one guy who really seemed apologetic. But then, and he digs in deeper and says the stuff, it goes in deeper. I'm not sure I can believe everything. I'm not sure I can believe anybody. Who really has credibility among the players at this point? Legitimately, I don't know who I can trust.
Yeah, no, that's Matt. Totally understandable. You know what I mean? Like, it's a team that's getting caught for cheating in baseball, so inherently, skepticism is warranted if you're outside of the marketplace. I believe Correa, because he was the one guy that the day that they did that press conference, he was the one guy who copped to everything, admitted to everything. He was one of the few guys who would admit that it gave them an advantage, which I think is what also infuriates people. So he's been the most frank about this whole thing. Carlos has always been, a guy who's been a very thoughtful guy. I think the one mistake he may have made, I heard you guys talking about the tattoo before I came on. And I honestly, if he had just stopped at Jose didn't want his shirt torn off, because we do that to him all the time. Like, if you go back and look on the internet, they've been doing this gimmick with Jose and Carlos ripping his jersey off going back to 2015, like the whole finger wag. Like, it's been a 4-year thing where they've been doing this, and now it's getting wrapped up and conflated into the story as a buzzer kind of thing. I do think that Carlos probably didn't need to tell everybody about the tattoo, because it sounds really like a weird reason. Like, it was like, Carlos, you had enough to convince them. It's almost like in sales. Like, I was in sales before I got into radio. And it's almost like where you put the contract in front of the customer, you don't have to keep selling if they pull the pen out. Like, you're done. You don't have to tell them about any more of the features or the benefits. I think Carlos had a good case defending Altuve, and then he brings up the tattoo, and I'm going, oh, my God, they're going to destroy you for this. This sounds so stupid. But Carlos is a guy I believe in this whole thing. Jose Altuve is a guy who I believe in this whole thing.
You believe all of them, Sean.
No. I was going to say, Dan, beyond that, there's skepticism baked into all these guys. But those are the two. You asked me a question.
I did.
Who do I believe? Those are the two I believe.
Okay.
How is Dusty Baker handling all this? And how are his players handling his presence on his next retirement tour?
They like him so far. You know, it's funny you say that. I texted a buddy of mine in Chicago back, you know, who was a Cubs season ticket holder back when Dusty was there. I said, the day they hired him, and I said, what can we expect with Dusty? He said, you're going to love him in the press conferences, and then eventually he's going to have to manage. And so I kind of chuckled at that, and he talked about how they ran the pitchers into the ground up there. I don't think that's going to happen this time around just because baseball has gotten a lot smarter about that, as has Dusty, I think. But to answer your question, they like him so far. The players really like him. He seems to be the right guy for this particular situation, which it's a veteran team with a really good clubhouse. My big criteria for whoever they were going to hire to fill the role or to fill A.J. Hinch's shoes, Dan, was that they get somebody who's not going to rock the chemistry. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big believer that managers are gigantic difference makers, especially for really good teams. And Dusty seems to fit the bill of a guy who guys are going to like. He's gonna make sure nothing goes on that, like what went on a couple of years ago. And he's credible. And he's a guy who's probably hungry to win a World Series, too. It's the only thing he's probably missing from his resume. So I would say this, so far so good with Dusty Baker, but it's really, really early. He hasn't had to make any decisions yet.
Hey, Sean, I love that somebody showed up for Astros BP in spring training with a trash can. Right behind the play. That's a precursor. Lord knows the opportunity for wacky radio bits in towns on the road is just going to be through the roof. Have you thought about what wacky radio bits you might do at home to support the batch of cheaters that call Houston home?
Well, we've thought about getting a garbage can drum band together. We've thought about maybe bobblehead, like the Carlos Correa bobblehead garbage can bobblehead night. There's certainly a lot of things we've thought about doing with Mike Fiers bobblehead since this whole thing started. So, the marketing department has a lot of things up on the whiteboard right now, Matt.
Thank you, Sean.
Going to be a fun year. Thanks for the visit, Sean. Enjoyed it.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks. That's Sean Pendergast, the morning guy down there in Houston with a big pile of content to go.
I can imagine it has been just an embarrassment of riches for sports talk. Their football team blows a 24-point lead in a divisional playoff game to lose, and then you have the Astros scandal, and America hates the Astros seemingly as much as any team in a long, long time. And to me, it feels even more, maybe because it's the now and it's flavor of the now, I don't know, but it feels like it's even more amped up than Bounty Gate, which I thought was exceedingly more egregious when you had members of the New Orleans Saints trying to knock football players out with their helmets.
More egregious?
I think so. I think people are more upset about this. No, not so much the actions of cheating, but how Houston has comported itself since.
I think the advantage of this, I don't know that people realize that the advantage that true full-on sign stealing through technology gives you is bigger than any advantage, bigger than steroids. It's bigger than steel. Oh, absolutely. Ooh. It is, Mac.
Ooh.
It is. It is
yeah,
bigger.
So you know it's
coming.
A fastball, but you still have to hit a 96-mile an hour pitch.
But it's easier to hit it if you know it's coming. That's the whole game. That's whole everything. And it's completely tied into the way the home run or bust mentality. These guys just want to take the A-hack. And they can take the A-hack if you know what's coming. You don't have to shorten up and try to become a contact hitter. You don't have to bother. This is a bigger advantage than Spygate, a bigger advantage than just about anything. We can talk about it along the way. We can ask, we need an NFL guy that we can ask about the advantage.
How about Hubarkish? He's waiting for us on the 10th tee box.
Thank God.
He's standing by. We're going to visit
thank
with
God
Hub.
You're here.
Just a few minutes. It's the score.
Hey, opening bell is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
Hey.
Boom. Get a full service. Boom. Oil change. It was just me. For $18.99 at CarX Tire and Auto. Hub is next on the score. Boom.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.